I found this in Gunner room. Gunner mirror at me.
What is it?
Well, it's
a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is David and
Aaron O'Brien.
And with us is the lovely Michelle Specht from Star Trek Continues. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did. You said it perfectly.
Fantastic.
Excellent. He's good at pronunciation.
Sometimes.
One of his many talents, I'm sure. I'm sure that's not the only list of his skills on his resume.
I can talk like Smeagol.
Oh yeah.
Hey.
Don't break it out. That's like the showstopper.
Going to creep me out.
Burns his ass.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I got it. I trust you.
You trust me?
Creepy.
Yeah, he does it pretty well. He's good
yes,
at it.
He does.
I win.
Do you do any impressions?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
No, come on.
Oh, come on. Just throw us one.
No.
I bet you do a great Vic Bagnana.
Not in any way that he would approve.
Oh boy.
just don't let him listen to this one. That'll
yeah,
fine.
No, you won't know about it.
Only in the privacy of our home would I do that.
Right. So oh boy. So Michelle is one of the cast members for Star Trek Continues. And in just to inform our audience, in case you've been living in a hole somewhere and, you know, you don't know what Star Trek Continues, why are you listening to this podcast? But we're going to explain it to you. Star Trek Continues is based off the original series, and they've taken it as a fan film, but, like, upped it to the next level where it looks great. Everything looks like the original episode. The stories are great. There's a lot of interesting moral dilemmas. And everything that's a hallmark of Star Trek, and they've made it into like what happens, like other adventures.
Right. Our goal is to finish out the 5-year mission.
Right.
Both basically emulating it to the closest detail that we possibly can, and making people feel like they stumbled across the lost last two seasons of Star Trek. And while doing that, bring all those character arcs and story arcs to a logical place at the end of that series so that when the movies pick up, the Star Trek movies, it makes sense. So we want to give that series and the characters and storylines a logical place to end when the Star Trek movies pick up.
Well, that's really great. I really love your character, specifically McKenna. I think she's a great addition to the cast, and it yeah. really balances things out a lot, I think. But you were just saying you wanted this to bring you know, the original series to its inevitable conclusion to where the movie start off. So what does that mean for you? Do you
that means you're going to have to watch.
Do you get transferred or do you change your uniform color?
Uh-oh.
Well, I don't know. We're just going to have to watch and find out. That's the $1 million question, at least for me. That's my $1 million question, not for the show. We know what happens to
assume, our main characters. I assume everyone's going to change into the gray and white sooner or later.
I don't know, Aaron. I guess we're going to have to watch.
Well, I mean, watching's not an issue. I'm just really concerned for McKenna because I'm just like, she's not in the movie, so I'm just like, I hope she doesn't change uniform colors. Maybe she gets a nice transfer. A big bonus.
We'll see. We'll see.
She becomes Admiral.
She transfers to Beta Z and becomes the owner of the 8th ring instead of the 9th ring or whatever.
Right.
Right.
So, tell us about your character. I love your character, too, because it was like a welcome addition. Obviously you had the beloved characters we already know, but then you're a different character that we don't see in the original shows, and I think that's kind of cool because you get a little more room to do something different than those old. I mean, which we love the older characters, of course, but new characters.
Well, no,
are fun
yeah.
too.
Honestly, I was scared to death about it. I'm not going to lie, I was scared to death. We're talking about one of the most beloved universes ever. The most beloved, one of the established, and just it's been around. Obviously, we're celebrating its 50th. Anniversary this year, 50 years.
Yeah.
There is so much time and investment and love within that universe. And let's be honest, TOS is about Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, and then about their auxiliary crew. And I am an addition to that auxiliary crew. So I was really scared to death. I was very intimidated and very concerned about how she would be received. I mean, when we take into consideration that we are furthering the storyline, we had new characters that came and gone in the first three seasons. It makes sense that they might bring somebody on, other cast members on in a fourth and fifth season. It makes perfect sense, but still, we're introducing something new into an incredibly well-established universe. So yeah. I was extremely concerned about how well she would be received. And I got to tell you guys, I am so freaking thrilled that people like her.
I bet you received better than Chekhov.
Who doesn't love Chekhov? You've got to love Chekhov.
Oh, I love Chekhov, but I'm just saying, like, he came in the second season. You're coming in the fourth season. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, I bet you better received than Chekhov. Chekhov was great, but, you know.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and to make this kind of show with people who literally are such huge Star Trek fans, as well as just having such a high work ethic and in what they produce and in what they do, and doing this as a labor of love with such people is amazing. I mean, we have an incredible family, and anyone who watches any of our behind the scenes stuff or blooper reels or sees us at events and sees us talking or sees any of our behind the scenes pictures about what we do after our shooting days on set knows that we're a very tight group of nerds, and we love each other very much.
That's the best kind of nerds.
Yes. Making this show with as much love and respect as we do is it's a huge job and undertaking to do, you know, for nothing, for no monetary gain, but it's certainly worth it. That's what labors of love are all about. So anyone who truly loves the original series will really love discovering these episodes.
What it doesn't pay for in money, it pays for in fame, right?
There you go.
Well, it pays for mutual nerd love. I mean, I think it's the coolest thing in the world. We go to events, and if people know who I am, like, as soon as I walk through the door, like, if somebody recognizes me, I freak out as much as anything else. I'm like,
You know who I am?
That's awesome.
Take a picture with me. I want to take their picture.
Do it now.
Yeah. And we sit there and nerd out and talk about our favorite Star Trek, our favorite series, our favorite episodes, all that good stuff. So it has just been a huge, nothing but blessing. And this is all the brainchild of our Captain Kirk, our, you know, co-exec producer and director and writer and editor and sound designer. He does everything.
It's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour-a-day job outside of his already full-time job. So it's crazy.
And Michelle, when we're doing these shoots, I mean, like, how long, what is the filming schedule? Do you guys do it all at once? Is it like spread out throughout a couple months? How is that filming?
No, most of us live in Los Angeles, although we have production crew and volunteers from all over the country and even some from Canada that will come down to where our sets are in Georgia. Because we're an independent production and we're paying the rent and all that kind of stuff on our 20,000 square foot building, we certainly could not afford that anywhere near Los Angeles. It would be a ridiculous expenditure for an independent series to try and undertake, since these are standing sets. So our sets are in southern Georgia. We will plan. We do so much pre-planning and pre-production work with the script, with planning out the schedule, with planning out exactly what our shoot days will be. We have a very set schedule. Mm-hmm. We know exactly what we're going to be doing when. So we get it out. We get out there, and sometimes we're doing not just one episode, but one and a half episodes, like we just did on this last shoot. We were able to. I mean, we try and stretch every flip and dime we can. So if we're taking the time to fly everybody down there, and we've got at least part of the script for the next episode ready, we'll do all the ship shots of that script as well as the episode that we're doing now. That's what we did this last time. We shot all of episode 6 and then part the bridge portion of episode or the ship portion of episode 7 while we were there, just to try and, you know, we're trying to stretch every dime, and we know exactly what we're doing. Our shoots are generally anywhere from 10 to 13, 14 days, depending upon whether we're doing one episode or more. We have a set shooting schedule. It's not a crazy one. I know some independent sets can be, you know, it gets a little crazy if the schedule gets out of control, but we're very good about staying on our schedule. Our people they're just really, really good at what they do. They work in this field outside of what they donate, in their time and expertise to us. So
that's awesome.
We get stuff done. We are on set early, but we generally end, in the evening, and then we'll all go out to dinner together. And then there's usually games and partying out by the pool or in somebody's room or in the lobby or whatever until that's very great. Late at night. And then we get up and it's like Star Trek camp.
That's
like
awesome.
Yeah,
I want to go to Star Trek camp.
That sounds like a fairy tale, actually.
It is. It's like a bunch of adults going to Star Trek camp. And they're just working really hard while they're doing it.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's cool thing is that you have all these people that come in and help you. And they, like you said, they fly in and they all do. I mean, we're not even talking like the actors. You were talking about, you know, people who work on the sets, people who.
Oh, my gosh. So
lighting.
Much work.
Yeah.
Lighting. I mean, the amount of people who donate their time and love and expertise to us, it's unbelievable. And just watch our credit roll. You'll see the same people on every episode. It truly, it could not be done without the love and generosity of those folks. And I just think that when we started this, when Vic wanted to do this, he had no idea if we were going to do anything more than one episode. He spent a very good bit of his own personal savings to fund the production of building of a good portion of those sets, spent a lot of his own sweat and time building them himself whenever he could get down there. Then we shot three vignettes to kind of introduce this new cast. Then he shot that whole first episode. All of that was out of his own pocket.
That's crazy.
We shot all of that, built it and shot it out of his pocket because he wanted this to kind of be an experiment. He didn't know whether we could like accomplish this crazy undertaking. We had no idea what a large scale thing this was going to be. So once we made the first one and people seemed to really like it, he was like, wow, well, maybe we could do, you want to do another one? Should we do some more?
Right. Right.
Yes, yeah. Please. Can I have some more?
Can I have more?
Yes, exactly. More. So then it kind of got the ball rolling and that was it. And we put out two episodes a year since we started. And that was 3 years ago.
That's great.
That's amazing.
And the thing is what's cool about it. Cause I, you know, I've been, you know, I mean, we're all big Star Trek fans for a long time. And I always like would watch, I mean, I'd even watch the really bad, Star Trek fan films that are posted on YouTube and they're like, the sets are awful and everything. And I get a chuckle out of them. But then like, you know, when you guys came along, I was like, wow, this is it. Like this is, I mean, everything looks like the originals, everything,
this is the real deal,
you know, it's great. And like the characters are perfectly cast, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's like lightning in a bottle that you guys could catch all that and put that.
I know together. It's kind of amazing, is it? And let me say, I think it's the amount of courage and commitment and love that it takes for anybody to do this, I think is amazing. I think all fan films are absolutely amazing because they come from a place of utter love. You have to love something so much to take your time and your energy and your money and wrangle your friends and get them to donate their time and their energy and maybe even their money to help you make it. These are all, it's all coming from love. I think it's absolutely amazing and something we should all celebrate. I just think we are extremely lucky to have assembled so many people who do work professionally in the field when they're outside of our production, and having their willingness to be a part of this is just testament to the love and passion of everybody that's involved. And yes, down to the minutest detail, what we are going for is for you to feel like you have found the original series. It's shot in 4x3, the lighting, the sets, the costumes, the fabric weaves, every little button, every little hook that's sewn, the style of getting the metal zippers instead of the plastic zippers, because that's what they had. Down to the last minute detail, and then getting really talented people involved. That's what we are all about. So if that's what you are into, I think people should check out Star Trek Continues, and they will feel really pleasantly like they, are back on their shag carpet.
Yeah.
in the 70s, turning the TV knob with their fingers because there's no control watching these episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Just the rabbit ears.
Yeah, exactly.
The physical sliders on the transporter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I grew up, I mean, I'm a little bit older than Dave, so I grew up with the reruns of the original series, and I, you know, that's what I fell in love with. And then Next Gen came when I was a little bit older, but you know, it's so amazing that you guys could have reproduced all that and what we have. So it is beautiful. And if anybody's listening to this and they haven't listened or watched Star Trek Continues, I mean, you can go to YouTube and you can go through
their website.
But you can.
Oh yeah, they're on Vimeo, they're on YouTube, or just literally go to StarTrekContinues.com. You'll see all 5 episodes that we produce. We're working on post-production on 6 and 7 right now. Wow. Episode 6 will premiere at MegaCon in Orlando.
Great.
Over the weekend of May 27th and 28th.
I cannot wait.
I know. And actually that very same weekend, myself, Chris Dewan, who is, of course, plays our Scotty.
Yeah.
He's got real stakes in that because of the family blood. And our episode 6 guest star, Gigi Edgley, who's our guest star. She was on Farscape and from a bunch of other cool sci-fi stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's our guest star in this last episode. The three of us will be in Houston at Space City Comic Con.
Wow.
And that same weekend that they're premiering it at MegaCon, the day after it's released online to the public, we'll be hosting that opening weekend screening at Space City Comic Con with a Q&A and panel and everything.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Everything else. Yeah. So, we are so blessed to have all the because of Vic's work in voice work, which he's a voice actor in animated TV shows and video games and anime shows. And he's been doing that for 20 years now. And he's extremely well established in that realm. And his event manager is actually the same event manager as all the original Star Trek stars and a lot of Doctor Who stars.
Oh, wow.
And Next Gen stars. So whenever he goes to do events, he's gotten to befriend all these people. And that's how we get these amazing guest stars that we have. I mean, the voice of our computer is Marina Sirtis, Deanna Troi from Next Gen.
You know, I was actually hoping she would do the computer voice in the new movies. That way we could be kind of passing the torch.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That's what I was hoping. But hey, you got it's better since Star Trek Continues.
Right,
she's voicing it there. That's better.
Yes. And, in our Mirror, we did a sequel to the Mirror Universe episode, Mirror Mirror.
Right.
Ours is called Fairest of Them All. And in that universe, the computer voice was male. So, of course, we went to our friend Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Worf.
Yes.
And awesome. Said, you got to be the voice. He's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Voice of our computer, that one. And we've had, Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers and Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica and Lou Ferrigno from The Hulk and obviously Gigi Edgley in this one and Adrian Wilkinson. And I mean, our guest stars are just amazing.
I had such a crush on Aaron Gray growing up. I used to watch Buck Rogers all the time.
Holy guacamole, is she like lovely, like inside and out. And she's in episode 7. You will see her again.
That's awesome.
Her character, the Commodore, comes back. So
that's awesome.
That was really fun. We got to work with her again. Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
So currently you guys are doing another Indiegogo right now for, 8, 9, and 10, and maybe 11?
Yes, another 3 episodes. And obviously rent and utilities on the building.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. Like I said, Vic funded the first 3 vignettes and the very first episode out of his own pocket after he really did not feel it would be right to ask anybody for money unless we could actually prove we could do what we said we were going to do.
Right.
So we built the rest of the sets. We made the 3 vignettes, made the first entire full-length episode, put it out there. People really liked it. And then we said, okay, if people would like to see more, then we'll start a Kickstarter. And we did. And what we did was we raised enough to do another 3 episodes. And we did those in short order, bam, bam, bam. Then we had our second Kickstarter and said, hey, we're going to build engineering, which has never been done before. The entire there were no specs for this set. There were no measurements at all. Our prop and set designer, set supervisor, William Smith, literally devised this and figured it out by hand.
Wow.
And just did it. And it will premiere in this upcoming episode 6 that is going to premiere that last weekend in May. And wait till you see it, you guys. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And with that second Kickstarter, we said we're going to do engineering in 2 more episodes. Bam. We did exactly what we said we were going to do, exactly when we said we were going to do it. And now, I don't know, this just came to pass a few days ago. We have been approved as a not-for-profit. We are non-profit.
Oh, that's great.
We are, what is that? 501c3. And it's retroactive all the way back to 2014. So if anyone contributed to our last Kickstarter or if they want to contribute to this Kickstarter, we are totally not for profit. You can write it off of your taxable income.
Hey,
which is fantastic.
I know. It's amazing. Geez, a tax write off and more Star Trek?
And more Star Trek? Win-win.
Yeah, right.
And right now the Indiegogo is at $67,514 as of the recording on Saturday night, which will come out Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
And that's our Boldly Indiegogo. You can find us. Star Trek Continues Boldly Indiegogo. And you can see the perks on there. They are flipping awesome. We've got screen use props. We've got amazing stuff that we're just going to, of course, once they are used and they're on screen, we might as well let them go to somebody who really wants them. So Really, really cool stuff there. And obviously, we would be incredibly honored. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. People have wanted to see this much more of it. And if they deem us worthy to entrust us with their hard-earned money, we have proven what we do with it. It goes directly straight into production. That's exactly where it goes. We do exactly what we say we're going to do, exactly when we say we're going to do it. And that's what we're going to do again.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I just love that, you know, we have today the technology to bring that all out. You know, like now we can crowdfund things, and everyone who's passionate about and loves, you know, whatever genre you're into, you know, if it's, Star Trek or, you know, a cooking show or anything like that, anybody can get into it, and they're like, yeah, I want to see more of this, you know?
Right.
So
I know. I think that's amazing. If you've got the drive to do it and enough people like what you're doing, there you go.
Yeah.
And we can make it so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys, what is your, okay, TOS, Aaron, was your fave?
Yes.
What about you? Like, what's your, David, what's your go-to? Are you TOS man? Next gen? What are you?
I'm a DS9er.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
I'm a DS9. I mean, like, I love the original series. I love Next Gen. The thing that makes DS9 for me is that it's got a strong arc throughout most of the series.
He likes like the continuity. Stories, the continuities between the stories. Like, you know, TOS was like, you know, you had like, you know, different stories that are, you know, smattered of different, you know, nothing really carries through a lot of them. So
right.
He likes that the story continues. And
but I'm actually liking a lot of Star Trek Continues because they are referencing stuff that, you know, has happened before.
Well, the Apollo.
Or they reference, right. You know, Enterprise, like, oh, the Orion slave girls, you know, were the dominant, sex right. of the species, and now it's flipped. And I'm like, ah, well, that's going to flip again, maybe, for Deep Space Nine. Because, I mean, they had the Orion Syndicate, but you never saw any Orions.
Right, right.
So
maybe they've got a cogenitor and they've taken over.
Oh, boy. Well, that's the thing. And I think we all kind of love what we grew up on. You know, that's
exactly.
Just got a place in your heart.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like Star Trek really does. The people who love it, it seriously impacted who they are, how they see the world, how they see the possibility of the future, which is what I think is so absolutely beautiful about Star Trek. I mean, we've got a lot of sci-fi now, guys, and it's amazing. It's an amazing time to be alive and be a sci-fi fan with Netflix. And I mean, there's so much content and Sci-Fi Channel and Amazon. There's so much amazing content being created. I will say this, what still stands out to me about Star Trek and continues to make me love it so much is that what we're seeing now is a heck of a lot of dystopic type of future.
Yeah, and
we are seeing a lot of dystopia. We're either victims or we're pirates.
Right.
The world is a scary place. What I love so much about Star Trek, and I think why people, whether or not it's a conscious choice or not, we love the fact that humanity makes good.
Yeah.
The world ends up being better because of us. The universe, we go out and do good within the universe. It's our best selves. Who doesn't want to look toward that future with hope?
I couldn't say it better. That's beautifully put. That's exactly one of the reasons that I've always had a strong love for Star Trek. I mean, I love other sci-fi and all sorts of other genres out there, but that is what keeps me coming back to Star Trek all the time.
Yes, always, always.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's the vision that Gene had, which most people don't, and most everyone sees how crappy the world is. And it's like, well, I guess it's going to keep being crappy. So, you know, they make all these dystopias, and that's more typical, unfortunately. But I like how Gene had that optimistic view. And
absolutely.
You were asking us, you know, which one you started, you know, was your favorite. Is TOS your go-to?
I grew up watching TNG. I grew up watching Next Gen. I loved Next Gen. And it's funny, I'm rewatching it right now on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, I haven't watched it like really in succession for quite a number of years. And it's so funny to like see these episodes and literally see, like, just to reference what I was just saying, how much it has impacted who I am, like how I view the world was absolutely fundamentally shaped by Next Gen.
It's wild.
Absolutely.
It's like, wild.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been rewatching it too on Netflix. And as I've gotten older, because I grew up on Next Gen, it would have been my go-to if it had a more cohesive story like DS9 did. But just seeing these episodes and how emotional a lot of them are, like, gets me in the feels. And I like tear up a lot more now watching Star Trek than I ever did when I was in. And I'm just like, it's just because it hits me on a more emotional and
deeper
level.
You definitely see things that you never would have seen before. And it's very difficult to put into words. Because, like, I was young. I was, like, a teenager when Next Gen was out. So it was very you know, like I, it was like, yeah, that's a cool story, or that was an interesting, but it didn't emotionally impact me. But now I go back and I watch things like, oh man, that's pretty heavy, you know?
Yeah.
Lower decks, anyone?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So much so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, you know, my in TOS, my favorite character absolutely was Spock. I mean, Mr. Spock,
right.
by far. And in Next Gen, it was well, I did love Deanna Troi. I love Deanna Troi, uh-huh. But what I, the character I find most impactful is Data.
Yeah, Data for sure. Yeah, Data.
Oh my God! And that was Gene's beautiful tool. He utilized the non-humans to bring out and bring a mirror up to the face of humanity.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what I loved so much. The most poignant episodes to me always revolved around Spock and Data.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Because that's that during that time period, you know, it's like you see a reflection of what they are. And, you know, even though they're not human, we see the human side come through. And that's what's interesting, you know. Every time we watch
and that's
it.
What yes, very much so. And I love the fact that in our series, bringing a new character like myself on board, we are kind of beginning that transition, because when TOS ended and Next Gen started, it's about 100 years. And there were so many changes that happened in between TOS and TNG, just both in kind of standard practices, the fact that there's a ship counselor aboard every ship, and that's kind of a given.
Yeah.
The holodeck, all these new, you know, new phasers, all this kind of stuff. And I love the fact that what we're doing is so heavily rooted in the traditional TOS, but ever so slightly introducing the ideas that will lead to what Gene Roddenberry's vision was of Star Trek in the future when Next Gen came around.
Yeah, no, that's some cool stuff that you guys kind of hint at and do a little.
Right. And and I'm totally blanking on her name. I can't even believe it. In the original, in the pilot, where no one has gone.
No man has gone before.
TOS pilot. Yes.
Yeah.
And there was the character who basically was the psychologist that he had in the TOS pilot.
Oh, gosh. What's her name right now?
What's her name? I can't believe I'm blanking on it.
Yeah, because I just remember, was this Gary Mitchell is the guy. And then...
Yeah, and there are people, if there are real Star Trek fans listening to this, they're like screaming.
Yeah, they're screaming.
They're screaming at us. Like,
they're screaming at it. I apologize to them. I'm so sorry I've forgotten. But that character in my mind, Gene Roddenberry, introduced what he wanted to do with something like with a ship's counselor, with a ship's psychologist. He introduced her in that pilot episode. And then he later on brought that idea to fruition in Deanna Troi. So in my mind, being the Star Trek fan that I am, I feel like my character, Dr. Elise McKenna, the first ship's counselor, is like the bridge between those two.
Right.
It's the bridge of what that would have been. It's the beginning of that fruition of another female kind of character in that aspect of that Star Trek universe he created that he was able to fully explore in Next Generation, but didn't get to in TOS. So that's kind of, in my brain as a Star Trek fan, and when I was starting this, doing this rollout and being absolutely terrified about it, that's how I kind of talked my way through it that I wouldn't be totally terrified. I'm like, okay, it's going to be fine.
This is how it works. It'll be fine. You're good.
This is what she's going to do. Okay.
I just looked up the name. It was Dr. Elizabeth Dener. And it
is
was,
that her?
And her name is, the actress name was Sally Kellerman.
Yes. Sally Kellerman. That's who, okay.
The internet saves us again.
Woo! Sally Kellerman.
Yeah. Yes. So
that's kind of in my brain when I think about her and introducing this new character, where she fits in that whole scheme of things.
Unfortunately, I kind of block out where no man has gone before because I feel like it's silly that the galaxy has a barrier on it. I'm like, what? Where's the science in this?
Yes, I know.
Is this Men in Black where we're all marbles? Is that why there's a galactic barrier?
So we're hanging around a cat's neck in their little pendant collar.
Or a little pug.
Yeah.
Is that why we can't get out of the galaxy?
Yes, that's why.
It hurts my head a little bit that Star Trek has always been really great with science. I mean, yeah, they fudge things here and there because they have to because it's science fiction and storytelling, but they try to be really good with science. And then this galactic barrier thing, I was like, what?
The only thing is I give them a free pass because that was pretty early on.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, exactly.
it's pretty early.
They hadn't clearly cut their path yet. You know, that was the first run. You gotta give every show kind of a few episodes.
Sure. And I'm sure when you rewatch that Next Generation season 1 and 2 is a little painful to watch.
Oh my god! When I watched the very first episode, what is it?
Farpoint.
Yes, I was like, what in the what?
How did this make
did
it?
Did you know, like, the Q part was added on? And to me, that's the only good part of the episode. I'm like,
exactly. And that's why you have to watch it. You kind of have to get the intro of Q and the trial, because that kind of comes back at the very last episode of the series.
Yeah, all good things.
You have to watch it. You have to go back and watch it. But the whole jellyfish with the hairy arm.
It's like, I feel sadness, and like, it's the only time we see Deanna Troy in her skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, come on, why did you get rid of the skirts?
But we did already see dudes in skirts.
Dudes were in skirts.
Yeah, dudes were in skirts all throughout the first and second season, but Deanna only wore it the first episode.
I know.
I do like Gene Roddenberry with such an equal opportunity to put a man in skirts. You know, he's just like, yeah,
the dress uniforms are skirts, too.
Well, yeah. I know, but I'm just saying, it's like that he was like, yeah, let's do that. You know, it's like, that's the kind of guy he was. And that's really how he is, too.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, here's something cool. I don't want to give away too much, but I can tell you this much. Rod Roddenberry visited our set.
Oh, cool.
During the episode 6 shoot. In fact, just on our Facebook page, the Star Trek Continues Facebook page, you'll see a picture of him sitting in the captain's chair.
Great.
With Vic and our director. And that was pretty amazing. And he gets such a kick out of it. He's a wonderful friend to our show and thoroughly supports what we're doing. And we cannot be more honored to have that kind of, that kind of confidence from him.
Oh, for sure.
It's amazing.
And speaking of Rod, he just got added to the new Star Trek series.
Did you see these? Yeah.
So what's your take on this? Like, what do you? I know you don't have a lot of time, but what is your hopes and dreams for this?
I don't know if I want to set a certain expectation. I really don't know if that would be the way to. I think if I start formulating in my mind exactly what I want to see, then anything less than that is going to be a disappointment, and I don't want that to be the case.
You don't want to build it up.
Yeah.
I don't want to build it up. I really don't know what to expect. It's certainly, whatever it is not going to please everybody. That's impossible. I think we know that. We've been on enough Trek forums to know.
Star Trek in the Darkness, anybody?
I haven't even read a lot of them, but when I have, I was like, oh, woo! People feel very strongly about their opinions. Totally awesome. You're not going to please everybody. Totally understand that. But, you have to have hope. Let's approach this with a Star Trek attitude. We got to have hope about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really exciting that they're even going through with it. So as it develops, it will be very interesting. None of us are in any kind of the seats of power to decide what it's going to be or what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to hope for the best.
Sure. But, you know, we were talking earlier how Star Trek has always been a bright future. But, you know, with Brian Fuller being on it, he usually tends to go dark. And dystopic. So I was kind of thinking, but then we got, Nicholas Meyer, who, I mean, Star Trek VI was kind of dystopic a little bit, the Cold War feeling. But then we get Rod Roddenberry. So now maybe he'll kind of like, I mean, we don't know exactly what, if his role is just, fans, words, word service or if it's actually, a role with power. But hopefully if it's got some power behind it, he'll keep his father's optimistic future.
I hope so. I mean, that to me will always be the true essence and beauty and heart of Star Trek. I think that's why a show that was only on for 3 years has grabbed the hearts and minds and passions of people for this long, because of the kind of future it showed us and because it showed us in the best possible light that humanity can be shown. So that is what I am hoping for.
That's awesome.
Really.
Yeah.
We've got enough dystopic sci-fi, guys. There's plenty of. And it's really fun. Don't get me wrong. Some of it is really amazing and beautiful to look at and so fun.
Sure.
But, that's there is a difference within Star Trek, and I really hope they keep alive that beauty that makes it special.
I'm with you 100% on that sentiment.
For sure.
You're with me, Aaron?
I'm
with you, too.
So if you're
the three of us will rule the world. Yes, this is Star Trek. No, this is not. No.
I know, that's what kind of, I do find that kind of interesting, don't you? The banter that kind of, or the kind of a heated debate that kind of comes out about it.
It's so ridiculous.
I try not to fall into it, but I've fallen into a couple flame wars with people online. Like, I'm like, why?
Star Trek is Star Trek. Just let it be.
I'm like, why did I dig myself in this hole? I just stop. And, it's just, but sometimes you can't help yourself.
It is hard, but it's just so funny to me because that's so non Star Trek-ish,
right? Yeah, it's like, should we be accepting of all things? Yeah, right. Except for those guys.
Yeah, except for the people that, like, in the darkness. And it's like, why? They're new fans. Help them with the fandom. Come on, let's all be big brothers here. This is a
fun action show. It's a really fun action movie. That's kind of how, in my mind, I see it. I'm like, that was an action ride movie.
And it was nonstop, and it was fun. And that's why I liked it. It was fun.
And it got more people into it, younger people, definitely. Right. So.
And that's kind of the cool thing about Star Trek Continues, too, is because so many of our actors have such well-established careers in voice acting for video games and animated shows and anime.
Yeah.
That they're watching it now because of Vic Mignogna and Todd Haberkorn and Chuck Huber, who are all big voice actors for that kind of work. And now they're bringing their parents into it, and their parents are like, what?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They're like all watching Star Trek together. We're creating these beautiful new generations of fans, which is amazing.
That's great. Awesome. That's great. So, yeah, you guys really hit it out of the park with these series and the series that you've been producing. I can't say enough good things about it. It's a beautiful thing, guys.
Okay, so we covered what your favorite backgrounds are with DS9 and Aaron. You said TOS.
Yeah.
Do you guys go to conventions? Do you cosplay?
I've never been to a Star Trek convention. I keep trying to, and I just lost my job a couple weeks ago.
Sorry, David.
So I was wanting to go to at least the one in Chicago because that was like kind of financially feasible. Now with no job, it's more trouble. So I'm hoping I can make it to Vegas next year once I'm employed. I'm crossing my fingers. I wish I did cosplay. I wish I knew more about that stuff. Our co-host Faith couldn't make it tonight. She does cosplay.
Oh, cool. Yeah. The people who do that like hardcore 100%, they're amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. When I was younger, back in the 90s, there used to be a lot of Star Trek cons we used to go to, and there was, people would get all into it. It was back then, the big thing was to dress like the Klingons because the Klingons were just coming. You know, if we had the original cast series movies, and then you had Next Gen, so everyone was trying to outdo the Klingon Imperial uniforms for the Klingons.
Right.
So that was a big thing. I never got that much into it. I wasn't good at it. So that's what I was into. And then I've done a lot of cons, but I do a lot of illustration artwork. So that's
very cool.
Yeah. So other than the Star Trek podcast that we do here. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I try to live my life as a Klingon. I've got really long hair, and I've got the split. I've got the split mustache, like Worf does. So I try to live my life as a Klingon.
Drinks a lot of prune juice.
I drink a lot of whiskey, so I pretend it's blood wine.
There you go.
That's kind of one of the funniest things. We go and do these events, and Vic was doing, like I said, Vic Mignogna was doing these events for a very long time for his because of his work and because of the event manager that he has. So we know these folks like as friends. They're friends of ours now. A lot of these very well known both Trek stars as well as other sci-fi genre stars. And I deserve a freaking Oscar, guys, because I act like a normal human being I'm around them.
That's awesome.
And
I think you should get one.
That's the strongest performance I've ever given. Oh my gosh! I met Leonard Nimoy, and I looked like a normal person.
That's awesome.
Your internal monologue is like, I just need to plug into that when you meet people. that way you can at least voice it to somebody. That way you feel better.
Right.
Totally. When that happens, like Vic literally, that like 3 minutes before, he was like, no, you gotta, please be a normal human being.
Yeah.
And he was like squeezing my hand so hard as Mr. Nimoy was walking towards us. He was squeezing my hand. I was like, be normal. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. And I had a normal conversation, had a totally normal 3-minute conversation with Leonard Nimoy.
That's awesome.
Which
that's
was amazing. And I'm still on the anniversary of his passing this year. I cried. I can't help it.
Yeah,
I can't help it. I can't believe how much his character meant to me, as I know to millions of other people.
Absolutely.
So that's his. I still feel that loss. I really do.
It is hard to not have him in this world. Because he's been such like a cornerstone for so much. Just in the back of your mind, even when you're not thinking about Star Trek, you just Mr. Spock comes as a reference, and people just identify. Yeah. They know exactly what you're talking about.
And within our last three episodes, I've done two episodes on Leonard Nimoy. I did one, it was a whole bunch of interviews with a whole bunch of different people. Then we came back for another one where we talked with Bonnie Moss, who was a personal friend of Leonard Nimoy for 35 years.
Oh my goodness.
She was amazing.
Yeah, it was
You should listen to that one.
It's beautiful. It's actually a beautiful interview, and she just reveals, I mean, as a fan, how she got to know him, and they became friends, and they stayed in contact over the years, and you know, it's a beautiful story.
He was such a singular, I just think he was such a wonderful human being, like above and beyond what his character represented to so many people, but just who he was as a person.
What
an outstanding human being. He really left this world a better place. So
I agree.
Like, I'm gonna get teary right now.
Yeah. Let's not make everyone cry.
For four episodes in a row, let's make people cry.
I'm supposed to call Vic after this.
We're gonna talk about Leonard. That podcast made me cry. Don't even go talk to them, Vic. Maybe, or you could say we made you laugh so hard you cried.
We're like the Barbara Walters of podcasting. So we get people to cry when they talk to us.
We don't want to cronkite you.
I hope if you guys are ever down or near South Georgia when we're doing it, maybe you could even come down and visit us.
That would be beautiful.
An invitation?
I do know, I will say this, I'm going to plug our Indiegogo again, that we have perks and have for every fundraiser that we've done. People can get a guest star walk on roll on the show.
Awesome.
And we've had repeat people come back. In fact, Kat Roberts, who plays Lieutenant Palmer, has done that on, I think, at least three episodes now. We've had Kat with us, and now she's a member of our family, and we love her.
That's great.
It really is like... if you love Star Trek, like family, then I hope that you will watch our show and become a part of our family, because that's exactly what we are. We have a lot of fun doing what we do.
Wonderful.
A lot of fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you guys seem like an amazing family, an amazing cast, and just an amazing show. Thank you so much for coming to talk with us tonight, Michelle. Where can people find you on the ye olde Twitters or social media?
Well, I'm on my website, of course, michellespeck.com. I do spell Michelle with one L. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You could probably find me otherwise. And I'm on Twitter at Michelle Specht and Facebook at Michelle Specht and Instagram at Michelle Specht. I don't make it difficult.
Awesome.
And I usually
hidden names.
No hidden names. That's right. I usually like to, like, on my pages and everything, just post because my background is in comedy. I was on the sitcom. My background for years and years here in LA was sketch comedy and improv. Cool. So all the stuff that I generally post on all my pages will be all the kind of behind the scenes funny stuff.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
But, you know, you have to have an outlet for that. And for me, I think that's what makes our entire production so incredibly amazing is the fact that we have so much fun together. We have so much fun together. We not only do we produce an amazing show, but we just have such a ball. And so I like to share as much of that process.
You're making me jealous now. You got to turn it down a bit. I'm going to come out there with you guys and start doing.
She did just sort of invite us.
I know.
Sort of.
I know. I know.
I mean, we're both unemployed right now. It's still a road trip, right?
Road trip. We don't care.
David, are you in Chicago? Where are you?
No, I'm in Buffalo. We're both in Buffalo.
All right. Is it cold?
Today's a little cold.
It got a little bit cooler today, but it's been in the 50s the last couple of days. Yeah, not too bad.
It's not been bad.
Faith's down in North Carolina.
Oh, okay, cool.
So she escapes that sometimes, but she's up the mountain, so she still gets snow.
Yeah.
But, gotcha. I'm laughing just because I had to turn on my air conditioner before I started.
See? There you go again.
We don't have air conditions built in up here.
We just walk outside.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Michelle. It's been fantastic talking with you.
Yes, it's
been
great.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. And what a treat. And anytime, like, you guys want to talk about other nerdy stuff, whatever else you're into, I'll come on board and say inappropriate things or...
Oh, right. If you want to hear inappropriate things, listen to some of our old episodes.
Yeah,
episode, like, we pride ourselves, like, we're... I think we're a little bit different than other Star Trek podcasts. We try to be more fun, and sometimes being fun and telling jokes involves getting kind of inappropriate.
Yeah.
We've said lots of really weird things.
Things
about
that shouldn't be said in front of other people.
Like, if you want to hear some inappropriate things, listen to episode 6, listen to episode 9.
most of them.
Most of them. But, yeah.
Episode numbers for the most explicit.
Yeah. All the even number ones. No, I don't know. They're all kind of movie.
Like, you know, we had some, you know, Spooky Schisms was very inappropriate.
Yeah, because the alien abduction one stuff. With Riker. Yeah. Oh, we just, like, we should.
Oh! Like, if you've got a couple more minutes, we like to do a segment called Riker Scores. And I do have a favorite score, like, you know, like, score in where all of Star Trek.
Where the character makes it with somebody that you're like,
you are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't.
Shut up, kid.
Okay. Does it have to be Riker?
Doesn't have to be Riker.
It's just since Riker embodies the score, and then on the opposite side, Harry Kim embodies the fail.
If
you have a giant fail.
Okay. So the best score. There would be a couple. Of course, I'm going to go to my. Remember when Billy Campbell guest starred on that episode as, like, basically the space pirate?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Remember he was like
Terry Hatcher was in that.
Yes.
Yep.
He hooked up with Terry Hatcher.
Yeah. That's pretty good one.
A bunch of crew members. I'm sorry, but I those ladies were lining up.
Yeah.
And he was trying to hook up with Deanna Troi.
An attractive man.
He had a ponytail and chaps.
And it worked.
Every time I see him, I think Han Solo.
Yes. Yes, he totally looked like the dude from Ice Pirates. Ice Pirates.
Someone else knows Ice Pirates. Oh my God.
Of course. Hello. He totally reminds me of Bill Paxton from Ice Pirates.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, he was like that episode. I was like, I'll be at the transporter room door. Saying, can I help you to your quarter, sir? Yes, right this way.
Nice.
Yes, that was a good score. And then. Remember when Deanna Troi hooked up with that half beta zoid dude or quarter beta zoid dude? And they were doing like those really creepy scenes where they were like, he was like oiling her feet.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
That was so weird. I'm like a total Troi fan. And even I was like,
That's weird.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I didn't, that one was a little bit like, ugh.
Directed by a foot fetishist.
That was like just a little greasy.
Yeah, that's too much.
Here's some sausage grease. Dip your foot in that.
No. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, well, hey, those are really good ones. Really I do like the spice pirate there. He was thinking back, and that was a very good episode for, what was that, season 2 or I don't remember which.
Season 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Pretty early on. But yeah, Michelle, if you have a favorite episode of Next Gen, that's your go-to, message me on Twitter and we'll set up another time where we can we'll just talk that episode, cuz that's what we do. So pick an episode that you want to talk about, and we'll go to town,
and we'll riff on it.
Okay.
So
let's do it. It's a date.
It's all a date. Yeah, and you know we like comedy. So if you do the sketch comedy stuff, you know, I think that we try to go for comedy anyway.
It's like in my veins, and it's in my gene, and like some of it will get into the episodes. Like you see,
I know I've seen it before, and I didn't know if that's how it was written that way or just how you played it.
Yeah. So like the most of it, I think, kind of, well, they let it slide in episode two without realizing it. But yes. like, there's yes. just a couple moments where I'm totally like, wah, wah. I do like, I mean, I just want to do like spit takes and pratfalls, and I want to like, just, and it's just, I can't help it. But a little bit of it got in there. So yes, I will happily come back and talk to you about that.
That's awesome.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. So yeah, we'll keep
that
in touch.
That would be a blast.
And Bill told me to send Trek Geeks love to you too, since we were talking with you tonight. I've been a fan. I've been listening to them since they started. Heard your episode with them, a year ago, and me and Bill have been talking on social media ever since.
They're some sweet guys.
Yeah,
they're sweet guys.
Thank you.
Aww, thank you,
sweet guys.
Thank you
so much for like taking time out and talking to me, you guys. Yeah,
you took the time out to talk to us. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Are you kidding?
Awesome. Anyway, You're awesome.
And by the way, I know it's probably still recording, but I saw your little black cat walk across the camera.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with my black cat rubbing up. I'm like petting her right as we talk as well.
Yeah, I didn't want him to hit the ends on Skype because, you know, cats will always find the things that turns things off immediately.
Or turn the oven on or something.
No!
Or you lay out clothes to dry, and for some reason, that's the one moment they want to sit up on the couch and sit down on stuff. Like, they find it. That's what, yes, that's what they do.
That's what animals always do.
All right.
Hey.
Thank you, my dears. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Michelle. It was great talking with you.
That was so great talking to you guys. Anytime.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
And let me know when it's up or whatever, and we'll put it on our page and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'll do it. I usually have it up on Tuesday.
We had a whole series of Robots Gone Wild.
But we only picked like itty-bitty parts of that episode.
But it was instead of Girls Gone Wild, Robots Gone Wild.
That's episode six, if you were wondering.
Yeah, and it was just hilarious because we just encapsulate all these robots where they all go crazy, like Data and Lore and stuff like that. So we did.
Dude,
what about
that episode where he played his brother and his father when
that was one of the episodes.
That's the one we did. Yeah.
We did a bunch of episodes.
That was Brothers.
If you want to do any episode that we, you know, in that series, we can definitely do it because we just touched on it for short.
Like it would be between like The Offspring.
We've never done The Offspring. We will reserve The Offspring for you if you want to do The Offspring.
Or The Inner Light. I mean, that's a pretty...
We've done The Inner Light.
We
can always do it with you. I mean, again with you. I mean, that's...
I'll do The Offspring.
We've never done The Offspring.
Oh my God, made me fucking ball. Like,
yeah.
I love that episode. I love that episode. I was a mess.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird because you do see him, like we were saying, and now I'm an adult, and I'm like, oh my God.
I know.
I'm just a big baby inside.
And we got the famous Picard double face palms. Like, why are you trying to procreate by yourself, man? That's not right.
I know. Oh.
Awesome.
So good.